Father, we're so thankful to enter your presence tonight. Father, we thank you, oh Lord, for your Son Jesus, for the price that was paid for each and every one here tonight. Father, I thank you, as Gary's led by the Holy Spirit tonight, that each and every person get a vision of the power and authority. Get a picture of heaven, of you, Jesus. That there's no greater power than you. That you have conquered it all. And Father, each and every one here tonight receives what you have them to from the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help them as they go from day to day. To realize that you only know victory. That you know no defeat. That the price has been paid. And Lord, you did it for each and every one here tonight. That you did it for the world. We just give you all the praise and glory. Father, tonight, for what's about to come forth, we thank you for your presence that's going to fill this room. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all together, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. It is real rude to read while somebody's talking to you, so if I catch y'all doing that, I will embarrass you. I already caught some. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I learned that from Dave, Louie. You know, he said, really, you know, it's rude to read while somebody's talking to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we've been kind of using the Lord's Prayer as a pattern in our first pass through this workbook. And the idea each week is to hear the Word. And then so we have a lesson page. And then we try and talk about doing the Word. For example, one week we talked about doing Matthew chapter 6, the three things that are in there, giving, praying, and fasting. And the suggestion was that week, sometime between that Thursday and the following Thursday, even if you think you can't possibly afford it, find somebody that's worse shape than you are and at least give them $5, $10, something, you know, just to get started. Because the stronghold that the Lord's trying to tear down is, as long as you believe you're the neediest person you know, that's the very stronghold he's trying to tear down, you know. And if you ever start giving, your heart, especially if you need the money real bad, your heart follows the money. And he starts training you that people are more important than money. And when you start finding that out, he can start trusting you with money, because you'll use it for his kingdom's sake, which will be to help people. That's cool, isn't it? God's smart. Okay, so we've been doing that all along, and tonight's no different. Now, we've gone through Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We've been through that. Last week we talked about leadership, and Gerald did a wonderful job, I thought, about how the Lord has led him from where he was to where he is now. I can get a copy of that tape before you leave tonight. It's really good. It's anointed. Well, I like to see Gerald turn red over there. Hallelujah. It was fun. I had a good time last week. She was on the other foot for once. But tonight, it's deliver us. Jesus said to pray this way. He said, pray, Father, deliver us from evil. And I did a study in the Greek words on that, because sometimes it's a surprise, you know. That word deliver really means just what you'd think it does. It means, Paul used it all the time when he says, I thank God that he delivers me. You know, y'all pray that I'll be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Well, it means just what it sounds like. He said, I thank God who has delivered me from such a great death and will continue to deliver me, you know, from situations. So it's really talking about delivering in the sense of, uh-oh, you were in trouble, and then you're not. That's deliverance, the way I would say it, from Pottawatomie County, okay? Now, what's interesting, though, when Jesus prayed that, and he said in Matthew 6:13, deliver us from evil. Now, that word evil in the Greek language is normally, nearly all the time, an adjective. And you would use it like describing anything that was harmful, hurtful, painful, not to your advantage, like it's an evil day. Boy, I had an evil day. Or watch out for that guy, that's an evil man. So it's nearly always used as an adjective. That's not just a man. He's an evil man. Okay? I didn't just have a day. I had an evil day. So it's normally used as an adjective. But in that verse, it's used as a noun. And so what it really says is, deliver us from the evil one. Now who's that?
Satan.
Satan. A little louder for the tape's sake.
Satan.
Satan, all right. I don't want them to think we're in a Presbyterian church here. This would probably be a Presbyterian write me a letter. But anyway, so he's talking about, wait a minute, Gary. Now just wait a doggone minute. I thought Jesus already won that battle, and we've already been delivered from the evil one. What do y'all think, yes or no? Is that true? Yes? Okay, we're all in agreement. Now, I know that. God knows that. You know that. And really, the devil knows that. Okay? But now the problem is, enforcing that, knowing it and enforcing it, are two different things. What do you mean by that, Brother Gary? I got a call from this real nice couple about 2 weeks ago. Said, our car has broke down. We have blown 3 engines in the last few months. And we're on the fourth one now. Now our transmission's going out. And it's going to cost us like $1,800 or $1,500. And we know it's the devil, but how do we stop him? And I taught that little lesson about eating the scriptures and eating the banana, the word becoming flesh, quoting the word. I said, you stop the devil the same way Jesus did. You take the word and say it is written, and you speak it, and you speak it, and you speak it, until it's coming out of your heart with faith. And when it's coming out of your heart in faith, the Holy Spirit backs it up. And the devil, he runs off. That's how you resist him. So this lady, the wife, she started doing that very thing. That was on a Wednesday. And the following Tuesday, I get a phone call. And the Holy Spirit had led them to get an estimate at AMCO. And it turned out, and, well, that's right, she gave her testimony last week. It was Nathan's wife, Tan. And they go to AMCO, which she said that didn't make sense because that's the most expensive place there is to go. We were trying to save money, but we kept feeling like we ought to go there. Well, they go there, and they say, lady, there isn't anything wrong with this transmission. You need a tune-up. Now, did God fix the transmission? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I think what happened, he delivered them from dishonest mechanics. I think's what happened there. But see, whatever, it doesn't matter as long as the end result is the pattern's broken. The pattern had to be broken, you see. Now, if they'll keep on with that, don't just take that victory right there, but keep on. God's got lots of cars. He's well able to get you a nicer one than the one you got right now. You see, you keep on. That's how you win, though. Okay? But they needed to be delivered from that problem. Now, everybody in here tonight, it's always amazing to me. You know, when you preach the word, later on when you hear comments back, Louis might come up later, because the Lord's going to take the word. Whatever situation Louis's in, the Holy Spirit's going to minister to Louis regarding his situation. And whatever situation Judy's in, the Lord's going to minister wisdom for that situation. So later on, that evening or the next day, I don't even know why those other people were here. That message was just for me, Louis says. And then 5 minutes later, Dr. George calls and says, boy, the Lord, he spoke directly to me. I don't even know why all those other people came. Well, it's the word. See, it takes the same word and ministers to every single person's situation. Of course, I always take the credit for it and say, well, like I'm real smart or something. But no, that's just the word. But let's look at this. When you come to deliverance, my favorite psalm, I was praying and praying about this today, my favorite passage when it comes to deliverance is Psalms 91. So on the lesson page that we handed out tonight, I printed this out in two formats, the King James, which is my favorite, but I also wanted to just put it in the Living Bible, get it down in plain English, more like we talk today, because a lot of people will read this, Psalms 91, and start claiming it for themselves, but yet they never do what's in the psalm that causes it to work. Everyone say with me, it's not the hearer of the word,
not the hearer of the word
that's blessed.
That's blessed.
It's the doer of the word that's blessed in his deed. We're going to take a short intermission. We got more folks coming in. Y'all didn't miss much. We've been tonight's lesson is deliver us from evil. And you'll get the tape so you can hear the part I've already said. But we're just getting to this the handout, which is Psalms 91. And what I just said before you come in, I said Psalms 91 to me is my favorite passage in the whole Bible when it comes to deliverance. Trouble is, most people read it and they never see what it says in there to do in order to make it work in your life. So they don't ever do what's in there. But yet they kind of go around with a false security, thinking all the promises in there are working, like all these angels are actively working for them, and they're not, because they're not doing what's in the psalm. Okay, so we're just going to read it two ways. First, I'm going to read the King James, just so it'll be on the tape to refresh our memory. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now notice these parts I have underlined. That's the parts we're going to discuss. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, underlined again, and this is God talking now, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, underlined, because he hath known my name. Underlined again, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. How many of y'all would like for the Lord to be with you in trouble? He says, I will deliver you, and besides that, I will honor you. Would y'all like that? See some hands here? Hallelujah. With long life will I satisfy him. Huh? See some hands? Okay. And show him my salvation. Now I'm going to read it out of the Living. Got the same passages underlined. It says, we live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who is above all gods. This I declare, that He alone is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting Him. For He rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with His wings, and they will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning. Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. For Jehovah is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For He orders His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you with their hands to keep you from stumbling against the rocks on the trail. You can safely meet a lion or step on poisonous snakes. Yes, even trample them beneath your feet. For the Lord says, now underlined, because He loves me, I will rescue him. And I will make him great because he trusts in my name. When he calls on me, I will answer. I will be with him in trouble and rescue him and honor him. I will satisfy him with a full life and give him my salvation. Okay, now let's look at some of these underlined parts. In the Living Bible version, this I declare. You see that? This I declare. Declare means to say. It doesn't mean to think about it. It doesn't mean to meditate about it. When you declare something, what I'm doing right now, I'm declaring. I'm speaking it. So I put here, what are you declaring? Remember, you will never rise above your confession. In normal conversation with people, and I'm not talking about Thursday night Bible study. I'm not talking about Sunday morning church. I'm talking when you're at the barber shop or you're at the hair salon or just sitting around with your buds. Okay? What's the conversation like? Is it like, are you the one that's going, that you're always talking about your God who is your fortress and your place of safety? Is that the way you talk? Or do you tell them how difficult things are in your life and all the evil that's currently going on? Who are you magnifying? Your God or the evil one? It's your mouth and it's your choice. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Most people, because they're so programmed by circumstances, get this like this. Oh, yeah, I brag on God. Yeah, I tell people all the time about my God. He loves me and He saves me and He provides for me. I said, well, like, you know, when things are good, oh, yeah. I tell people how great things are. You know, and my God, He provides for me and He takes care of me. Yeah, but what about the day? What about the day when the first thing that happened, the car broke down, and then you called your neighbor to come pick you up, and right in the middle of the conversation, they turned your telephone off. And you started, had to run, you put on your tennis shoes and had to run to work and had a blowout on your tennis shoe. You know? And you skint your knee up real bad and it hit your head, and now you got a headache. And you know what, see, you get what I'm saying? Now, on that day, that's the day I want to talk about. That day, that kind of day there. Now, what's the conversation about when you get to where you work or you get around your buds, you and your friends? Now, that day, when the car blew up, okay, the telephone was turned off, the air conditioning quit, whatever happened to you that day, and you come in and you say, that same day, you come in and say, God is my refuge and my fortress. He is my strong tower. In Him will I trust. And they say, well, how you doing? You really want to know? I'm blessed, healed, saved, delivered. I have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and delivered into the kingdom of His dear Son. I've been born again. How much do you want to know about it? My God supplies all of my needs. That same day. Now, that's the person that abides in the secret place of the Most High. And it's a very narrow path, and few there be that find it. Oh yeah, God's great, God's wonderful when there's food in the refrigerator, gas in the car, and everything's going right, and the air conditioner's good, and but all those other days, God loved me yesterday, but, you know, He did love me yesterday, I'm telling you He did, but, oh, today, let me tell you about today. And then all you do for about the next 2 hours is, first of all, it was the car. I'm not picking. First of all, it was the car. If I have to be careful, people think I'm preaching directly to them. But, you know, oh, the car broke down. I had a blowout in my tennis shoe. It's been awful, I tell you. No. What do you say all the time? See, this. If you go back to the King James Version, look at it. He that dwelleth. Dwelleth means to live, not visit occasionally. How many of you want to live in that secret place of the Most High? All day. Every day. The good days and the bad days. You can live there both days. That's how you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, everything you can see is bad. You can hear snarling behind rocks as you're going through there. There'll be dragons there, you know. And you know there's danger. And it's bad and it's dark and it looks very dangerous. He says, but I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they cover me. Let me ask you something. Did any of the Word, any of the Bible change on the bad day? The bad day, Nathan, if you go to your Bible, that day when the tires blew out and the telephone was shut off and all of that, if you go get your Bible, does it still say, but My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Will that promise be the same? Or does that day when you open your Bible, does it say, except on Black Tuesday?
It'll still read the same, won't it? See? The Word doesn't change. And if you stay on the Word, guess what? Eventually you become like a rock yourself. That's what Jesus was really talking about when He said Peter, when He changed His name from Simon to Peter. He said, man, you got revelation from God. No man taught you that. Man, you're becoming a rock now. You're becoming like a rock. You're not like a reed blown around by every wind, every circumstance anymore, see? Now, if you want to dwell, live in the secret place of the Most High, you got to declare, okay, again, going back to that first line, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, and again, that means live all the time, under the shadow of the Almighty. And here's, He tells you how you do it. I will say, everyone say, I will say.
I will say.
One more time.
I will say.
Every day?
Every day.
Okay, I will say. Every day. The good day and Black Tuesday and every day. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now, that's how you abide in the secret place of the Most High. Let me ask you, and then most people go, God didn't come through for me. I was confessing, Gary, Brother Gary. I was confessing. Yeah, I heard you. I heard what you was confessing on Black Tuesday. Yeah, you was down at the beauty shop and it got back to me. I heard what you said. Well, I just don't know why this doesn't ever work for me. It works for other people. I, you know, I've been a tither my whole life.
I know. I'm the only one that goes to the beauty shop.
Uh-oh. you know what I'm saying, though? I don't know. It works for every. Well, she just. I could say I went to the. I could just as easily say, I went to the restaurant. You know.
Yeah. Now it's cheap.
Hallelujah.
We all go to the restaurant.
Yeah, we all go to the restaurant. We know. But you see what I'm saying?
Right when we learn not to condemn.
Yeah. Boy, it's scary when they start learning. Whoa. Uh oh. Have mercy, O God. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. You see what I'm saying, though? It's on people, and they're what's scary, they're serious. I don't know why it didn't work for me. Because they don't really realize that they're tearing down on that Black Tuesday everything that they were confessing on Sunday. They don't understand. They're tearing it all down on Tuesday. You're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You're dwelling in the circumstances that the evil one sends your way. And that's not how God delivers you. You're going to live by circumstances. God can't help you. You might as well understand that. Well, He could, but He can't. He's tied His hands. He has sent His Word and healed you. You hold to the Word. You hold to the Word.
Ice bag. That was the coolest deal the other day.
What's
headache
that?
Ice bag.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Her circumstance, she was having a real bad headache. I don't mean to give your testimony.
But you are.
And she you said you put an ice bag on your head, and you said, no, He is not going to do this. And she started marching up and speaking the Word.
Well, hallelujah. Where's them gold stars? We need one by Tammy's name. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's hear it. Give it up for Tammy. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's right. You go, Tammy. Go, girl. Go, girl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You start doing that all the time. Oh, I and the devil remember the Tammy of 10 years ago. He's afraid of that one. The devil is afraid of that one. Hallelujah! You keep doing that. Well, you guys have never seen that one. She'll scare you. I saw her get a car healed one time. I saw it with my own eyes. Stretched that little body out across that hood, said, I don't have time. She was on a mission for God, so I'm going somewhere. And this thing was leaking gas, you know. In Jesus' name, car, you stop leaking. He said, Jesus, I'll get it fixed later. But right now, I got to go. And that thing quit.
And I never had to get it fixed later.
You never had to?
And
I'm standing there, and I'm going, uh-oh. You know, hallelujah. Yeah, you know, whatever you do. Hallelujah, you know. That thing quit leaking gas. I watched it. And she drove off in it. Glory to God. Okay, you got that first part? It's not what you say on Sunday. It's not what you say around the spiritual brethren. It's not what you say on Wednesday. It's what you say on Black Tuesday. You know what I mean by that? It's what you say on Black Tuesday. Now, if you can hold to the Word on Black Tuesday, when you can hold to the Word on Black Tuesday, You start to dwell now. Live in the secret place of the Most High. Jesus taught that same lesson like this. If you abide in me, live. If you abide, live in me. And my words, if you'll keep saying what I say, if my words abide, live in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you by my Father. Isn't that what he said? Same lesson. It's like he took his text from Psalms 91. Hallelujah. Same lesson. All right, let's look at what are you declaring? To begin getting this working for you, you're going to have to change what you're saying. Same lesson as last night for those that were there in a way. You got to get the word in your mouth. If you'll get it in your mouth enough, you eventually become full of it. And Jesus full of it. Well, there's a lot of people full of it. You become full of the word. And Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Now, I'll be honest with you. When you first start doing this, I don't want you to misunderstand it, because a lot of people do. When you first start watching your confession on Black Tuesday, and you're not really full of the word yet, it's a fight. Because everything in you wants to go... You know, and you're wanting to tell about the flat. You're wanting to talk about the trouble. But yet, the problem is you came to Thursday night Bible study. See, and you want to start dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. So, what do you know I can't talk about that. What am I supposed to say? Oh, yeah. My God is my fortress. My God supplies all of my need. And the devil's screaming in your ear. Didn't supply your telephone now, did he? You know, devil screaming. Yeah. Let your tire go flat. Didn't it? You know, that's the devil, see? And what are you supposed to do right in the face of that? See? No. The word hasn't changed. My God still supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the devil, I got to get someone. Come here, Louis. And the devil's, so, pretend like that's the word, and he's reading it. Here's Louis. He's got the word here, see? And he keeps going, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And all the time the devil's going, he's taking him by the other hand and going, no, come look at your flat.
Yes.
See, no. God doesn't either. Look at the flat. And see, and Louis, he's going, he's forcing his eyes back down here. He says, no. Amen. I'm not looking at the flat. I'm looking at this. My God shall supply all of my needs.
According to His riches and glory. Backfire.
And the devil's going, no, quit looking at that.
No,
come over here.
No,
look at this
God
flat.
Okay.
Y'all got it? Hallelujah. You got it? Now that's the fight. And that's why everybody wants to quit. Because the devil's going, no. Don't be looking at that.
Look at your checkbook.
Listen to the phone. There's no dial tone. Listen. And you're going, no. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The devil goes, no. Hear the no dial tone. You know, I'll show you what's real. There's no dial tone. No, see what I'm saying? Now, and it's a fight. It's a fight at first. But if you'll keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, you get full of the Word of God. And that the Word starts becoming literally you. And, it becomes you. You wouldn't anymore. I mean, you almost just laugh. You just... circumstances. Yeah. Circumstances. The devil attacked Sue here about 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday. And I mean, it was just a flat attack of the devil. Physically. Be honest with you, he's about... at least for now. You know, the Satan leaves till a more opportune time. But for now... he's pretty convinced he can't stop me with symptoms. So he attacked her. Okay? And I mean everything in me. I love my wife. I've been married almost 21 years. Did not want to leave here. She felt bad, and I knew she felt bad. I walked in that room, and I knew that it was a devil. And the first words out of my mouth stunned me. I said, because she was sick. She'd been throwing up, pain, you know, kind of moaning and everything. And I said, devil... or Satan, I am not impressed. When I said that, it surprised me that I said that. Because I was thinking, now, if I was her, in that kind of pain, I'd probably say something like, well, he's just impressing the fire out of me. You know, I'm the one here feeling bad. But I knew what it was. I didn't know it. She'd been in there an hour and a half in that kind of pain and to nausea to the point of throwing up. I didn't even know it. I was in the other room working. Sinus headache and everything, you know. And so I just said, Satan, I'm not impressed. I knew it was an attack to prevent me from leaving, and I needed to go. It had to do with the ministry. And So I said what I knew to say. I couldn't repeat it word for word now, but basically quoting the words that, by the stripes of Jesus she was healed. I know this is a demonic attack. You foul spirit, you take your hands off of my wife in Jesus' name right now. And then I asked her if I could go get you anything. Did I? Okay, get out of this house.
I'm the head of this house. You leave in Jesus' name. You took your authority as head of the house.
Okay. When you start speaking in the spirit like that, you hardly even know what you say, you know. But just do it. And then I left. But now she was still in agony when I left the house. I didn't find out till later. Actually, the next day. Within 5 minutes after I left, she was asleep. It was over. Slept for a long time. It was a demonic attack. Okay? Now, what if I had not learned? I mean, my eyes still did not like seeing those circumstances. Do you understand me? A year ago, I probably would have stayed home. And you know what else? She probably would have stayed sick. Because that was the whole point. Okay? But I've lived and dwelt in that secret place of the Most High now. No, He cannot put that on my wife, because Jesus already bore her sicknesses and carried her pains.
Amen.
By His stripes, she is healed. That word has not changed, no matter I see her throwing up and in pain. It has not changed at all, has it? Okay? So I got to believe somebody. Everyone say, I got to believe something. Now, if you're going to live in the secret place of the Most High, you're going to have to make up your mind what you're going to believe. You going to believe the Word of God? Or you going to believe the circumstances? Those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High believe the Word of God in the face of the circumstances. And their confession is the same on Black Tuesday as it is when everything's going wonderful. Got it? Step one. You got it? What are you declaring? Okay. Two that's mentioned there. Now you notice down near the end of this, Psalm 91, it says, because He loves me, the Lord says. There's anytime you find a because, you need to pay attention. How many of you want the Lord to deliver you? Hallelujah. Rescue you, it says. How many of you want the Lord to rescue you? Okay. It says, God says, I'm going to rescue you because you, what's that next word?
Love
me. And I put out there Galatians 5:6. Faith worketh by love, you guys. This is a love deal. You know, we're always studying Abraham, which it says he's the father of us all in the faith, and we're supposed to follow in the steps of Abraham. Do you know what the Bible calls Abraham, though? The friend of God. He was the friend of God. Him and God were buds. They were pards. God says, should I do this thing in the earth without revealing it to Abraham? You know? When he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm not going to do this without talking to my friend Abraham about it. And then Abraham negotiated with his friend, God. You see? This is a love thing. Even in the Old Testament. This is Psalms 91. We're in the Old Testament now. We're talking about Abraham, Old Testament. Faith has always worked by love. Still works by love. Okay? Everyone knows my testimony in here on finances. For years and years and years, I tried to figure out some formula to get God to bless me. You know, give and it'll be given unto you. Or the hundredfold return. Everything I heard preached, I tried it. And none of it worked worth a darn. Because what I was trying to do was find some formula where I could force God almost to bless me, as long as I did not have to have a relationship with Him. Because I knew that meant, that means I might have to do something that He says. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I was wanting just a provider, and He was wanting to be my Lord. There's a big difference. Big difference. See, a lot of people do a lot of confessions. You all know I believe in confession. But you know really what Jesus said? He says, when you stand praying. He says, when you stand praying. Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. You know? He says, when you stand praying. See, it's not just a matter of just making these confessions and then living like the devil. Praying people talk to God. Praying people take orders from God. You understand what I'm saying? What if you're in prayer, Mike, and God says on your next trip, I want you to stop in Tallahassee and pass out 200 tracts?
Well, I ain't in prayer enough, I'm on good.
Now, see, and that's what he's looking for. I was trying to get him to prosper me, and I wasn't about to pass out no tracts, Tallahassee or no place else. You understand what I'm saying? I might have mailed one, but I mean, it was too embarrassing to go out there and pass out tracts. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Well, you watch me today, I'll pass out tracts or anything else. See, I found out there's a Lord here. I found out when he says, in my case, I want you to quit driving those trucks and go preach, go full-time into the ministry. Even though at the time, we had no ministry. I was going, what ministry? We weren't even doing any Bible studies or nothing, Louie, at the time. He just, do it. And I didn't for 10 months. Don't ever be that stupid. Okay? Don't ever be that stupid. All right, I don't want to go into that. I'll give you that tape another time, that testimony. It didn't work out well. It's better to obey God. Okay? It's better to obey God. But I found out it's just better to do what He says. Okay, how did I get off on that? Where's my sheet? Lost my place. Oh, because He loves me, see? It's a love relationship. That's what makes faith work. Quit trying to figure out all these formulas. I've been down there. Just come and ask me. I can save you years. Every one of those formulas you're fixing to try, come and talk to me about it, and I'll say, no, I've been there, done that. Didn't work. Won't work for you either. Well, what'll work, Brother Gary? Talk to God. Whatever He says to you, do it. That'll work. That'll work. So, well, I can't hear His voice. Pray until you can, you old flaky, lazy thing. Pray until you can. Pray. How should I pray? In other tongues. I don't speak with other tongues. That's your fault. Jesus said, those that believe shall speak with new tongues. I mean, I finally had to believe Him or the preachers that had been teaching me for years. I had to make a choice. Somebody's not telling the truth. I don't think Jesus is lying to me here. I think Jesus knows more about it than them. And then when I found out, Paul said, I would that ye all speak with tongues. And then I heard him say, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you put together. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, and forbid not to speak with tongues. I finally kind of come to the conclusion, I may need these tongues. And I found out since then, dear God, do I need these tongues. Hallelujah. See, and I always say, everybody, when they either start here or at Dave's, either one, they always had the same problem. Nearly everybody has the same problem. I can't hear God. You know, they just come, and they're serious. God never talks to me. I mean, I believe you that God might want to talk to me, but I never hear God myself, you know. But after they're here a few months, or after they're at Dave's a few months, y'all ever wonder why so many people leave? They got a bigger problem after they're there for a while. The problem now is, I heard God. You won't believe what He said to me. You know, He wants me to quit doing this. And He wants me to stop doing that. And then He wants me to begin doing this over here. And I don't want to do any of it. And I'm leaving and going back to the first church, where they'll leave me alone. Let me come on Sunday, pay my tithe, and get out of Dodge. Yeah? And that's why they don't hear God either. Quiet in here again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because He loves me. Now, notice this. Here's a gauge for your love for God. Y'all love God? Let me see your hands. You'd be embarrassed not to raise your hand. Everybody's going to raise your hand. You love God, don't you? Now, listen. You spend time with those that you love. It's useless to tell someone that you love them and never demonstrate it by spending time with them. Spend time, T-I-M-E, capitalized, worshiping the Lord. Don't be telling me you love God if you don't. Do your kids buy that? I really love you. See you in 3 months. Now, unless you're over the road trucker. I mean, there's exceptions. George and Sue, I'm talking about a normal, relationship here where you're home every day. Okay? Type of thing.
Your wife sure doesn't believe you.
Yeah, unless you're an over-the-road trucker. I mean, there are extenuating. But in a normal relationship, oh, I love you, I love you, I'll see you in 3 months.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it goes over like a lead balloon. Well, how about, Oh, and Sunday morning, you know, you're there, you know, you dress up, you're nice, you're Sunday morning. Oh, yes, we're singing all those songs. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Oh, you're everything. You're my everything, you know, singing all that. And then he doesn't hear your voice again till the next Sunday. And you come in and you go, oh, yeah, God, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to sing to God. Oh, yeah. And that he hears your voice again. But all week long, he never heard your voice. You spend time with people that you love. You spend time with them. Okay? Enough said on that subject. Should I move on quickly? Hallelujah. Notice the other thing underlined there. Because he trusts in my name. If someone's word is no good, their name is no good. When I was raised, the way my dad, thank God for my dad. He's from the old school. Now, I got in trouble for various things in my life growing up. Not too many. Because my dad, he did not have to give me too many whoopings in my life. If y'all ever met my dad, he's about 6 foot, in those days especially, 6'2", as the song says, broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. He didn't take no lip. You understand what I'm saying now? O.R., he'd beat you right now. But so I didn't get too many whoopings because the ones I got were memorable. I remember, I'm be 50 this year and I still remember them. Okay? You understand? Every one of them, I still remember them. Okay. Now, 50. What?
You counted them?
Well, I'd have to sit and go through my mind, but I was probably 10 or less. Just, you know, for general information.
Get that in 1 week,
yeah, but you never got spanked by O.R. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the way he raised me was like this. In fact, for years, he ran the construction business, and I just worked for him. But I learned everything I knew from him. Now, he did it the old way. We didn't have, you know, contracts written on paper and stuff like they do now in those days. You did everything on a handshake because it was almost an insult if you had to put it in paper because a man's word was his bond. I mean, the thought that, you know, I gave you my word. Why do you need the paper? And we operated that way for years and years and years with no problems. Because in those days, now it's not so much now, but in those days, if the man was no good, his word was no good. So most people in those days, if they gave you their word, it represented everything that they are. Hello? Oh, that's no problem. All right. Now, even today, we had, for the benefit of the tape, we had a minor spill here that we're fixing. Hallelujah. People are more important than spills. We'll clean it up. Glory to God. So anyway, getting back to the name. Even in the natural, how many of y'all want to do business with liars? See? You don't want to do business with a liar, do you? You can't trust him. Really, even if you get it in writing, all good liars have good lawyers. You ever notice that? And all good liars have good lying lawyers. Okay? So you're not safe even then. Daryl's still in business. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? You want to do business with an honest man. Someone whose word is their bond. Now, the reason I put that here, the Lord says one of the reasons that he delivers people is because he trusts in my name. The King James says, because he hath known my name. Okay? It's the same thing. If someone's word is no good, their name is no good. You can't trust them. God says, I deliver those that have learned that my name and my word are the same. Those that have learned that I cannot lie, those are the ones I deliver. Okay? I'm going to talk more about that on the next page, so we'll go past that. Then this last one, it just amazes me how often, because I deal with, you know, people call because of what Sue and I do, so people call about different problems. And it says here, when he calls on me, you know, James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. And it just astounds me. It happens regularly enough that it still surprises me. People will call and they've got this problem, maybe in their marriage, maybe in their money, maybe in their health, and they've just done this and done that and done this and done that, and then somewhere in there will say, well, exactly what did you pray about that? Or, you know, how did you take that to the Lord? Or, you know, along that line, and then all of a sudden they start batting eyes at you like, pray? Oh, you mean actually pray? Real prayer. I mean, they just flat forget. And the reason it may not be a monumental, earth-shaking thing right at the moment, you know, it may be the cars not working. Well, you know, God doesn't have, you know, we'll talk to him about cancer, but I just got car problems. No, he's interested in the car problems. Have you called on him about your car problem? Well, I thought about it, but no, I don't guess I have. He delivers those that call upon his name. Read what it says there. The last part in the... Let's go up to the King James Version. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. But what if... there's nothing for him to answer if you don't call. It just astounds me how often we find... James found it out too. He says, you have not because you ask not. And really what the context there, these guys were in all kinds of legal lawsuits and squabbles in the church and everything, trying to, you know, accumulate and get all this. And he was going, you fight and strive to obtain, yet you can't, and you have not because you ask not. And in that case, even what you're asking for, God's not going to give it to you because you're going to use it on your own lust. But that was all strife and ambition and stuff, you know. But this is a true principle. Very often it's just simply, you have not because you ask not. Okay, page 2, action page. God does not have favorites. You need to understand that and understand it right now. People all the time, you know, when you're talking to them, especially early on, when they haven't learned very much about healing, and you start telling them Jesus is a healer, and He will heal everybody every time that will do, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by His stripes you were healed. And they'll go, well, that can't be right, because my Aunt Susie died of cancer, and she was the best Christian ever in the church. You know what I mean? She never missed a Sunday. She would give her money to the poor. She would... you know, she was always gentle and kind and sweet, and I know she loved the Lord. And everything they're telling you right there is true. See, it's not like it's not true. They are telling you the truth, see. And they'll go, so he must be a respecter of persons because he let my Aunt Susie die with cancer. And this other person, he healed. So he must be a respecter of persons because that other person wasn't nearly as, quote, spiritual as my Aunt Susie. Now, see, that's rational, human thinking. Going by the circumstances. Now look at what the Bible says here. God does not have favorites. He does not love one person more than another. Romans 2:11. Now here it is. There is no respect of persons with God. So what all that thinking that I just said there a while ago, that's human thinking. No, listen. I know lots of people that love God. Dr. George knows more than I do. That love God, truly born again, truly filled with the Spirit, truly serving God, truly be in ministry maybe even. Yet, if they don't, by faith, appropriate the healing that's been given by grace, they'll die with cancer or whatever else the devil puts on them if they don't know how to stop him. Everyone say this with me. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now he'll do it. Now I don't have to repeat this. He'll do that every time unless you find out how to stop him. Now tonight's lesson is deliver us from evil. God has made that deliverance available. And what we're going to look at next here is how do you get it? How do you appropriate it? Okay, now watch. Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. So why does it seem that he delivers one person out of every difficulty the evil one throws at them and does not deliver another? The one thing that people seem to have the hardest time understanding is that God designed this gospel so that all of the promises would be available to every born-again person, rich or poor, educated or unlearned, white or black, young or old, skinny or fat. He wanted to make this so simple, everybody could have it. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, that verse, in that verse, grace means that it's available to you at absolutely no cost to you, because Jesus did all of the work to purchase these promises for you. Do you understand the grace part? You weren't there, were you? You didn't have anything to do with him bearing those stripes on his back. He did that by himself. He didn't need your help. Isn't that right? So he did it all. He did all the work. We get all the benefits by grace. So you understand that part? It's available free. Got it, Sandra? Now, faith is how you get it. Now watch this. Here's the part they don't understand. Most people don't. Faith means, plain Potawatomi talk, it only works for those who believe it. If you don't believe it, you can love God, he'll love you, and he'll still let you die with cancer. Well, let me put it to you this way. This is the simplest of all. Does God love everybody?
Yeah.
Isn't he love, the Bible says? God is love. Yeah. He doesn't just love, he is love. Will he let people go to hell if they want to?
Yes.
I mean, does he love, doesn't, no, no. Doesn't he, he loves them though. He wouldn't let them go to hell, would he? Well, sure he will.
Love them all the way there.
He'll love them all the way there, to their last breath. I mean, you can have this guy that had been evil in all his whole life, and I can just see it. I've seen it in vision for many times. He'd be on his deathbed, barely getting his last few gasps of air right before, you know, that death rattle is starting in his throat, and I can see the Holy Spirit hovering over him. Call on Jesus. Be saved. You don't have to go to hell. Be saved. And this guy was evil and nasty, and everybody's practically glad he's dying. You know. But the Holy Ghost, God loves this man. And God's going, no, no, no. Call on Jesus. Receive Jesus. You don't have to die. But still up to the man. And God will let him go to hell if he wants to. You see what I'm saying? Did he love him? Absolutely loved him. Does he love that person that's got cancer? But if she won't ever, just like that man would never appropriate the free gift of salvation by faith, it's available free, but he never would appropriate it, he never would act on it. In the same way, people will not appropriate the healing that Jesus provided for them. They won't appropriate it. They won't act on it. They won't receive it. And if they won't, God will love them. But they can die of cancer if they want to. It's the best way I know to put it. I could be real spiritual like a lot of people. I mean, it's not spiritual. It sounds spiritual. I could be real easy on your minds and your emotions, like most places, and tell you, well, God came down and snatched your grandma or your... Actually, the way to do it, you know, snatched your little 3-year-old girl from you because he saw... In his garden in heaven, he needed one more flower. And he saw, you know, that he needed this particular flower. Y'all have heard that kind of stuff preached, haven't you? Did you ever, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, ever see Jesus do anything like that? No. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Neither does God do that.
Amen.
Neither does God. The thief, one more time. The thief cometh not.
The thief cometh not.
But for to kill.
But for to steal.
And to destroy. Jesus said,
I have come
that you might have life
and have it
more abundantly. Now, get it straight, okay? Now, I get these glasses on straight, we'll be doing good. Faith means it only works for those who believe it. The reason Aunt Susie died of cancer, she never did believe it. That may be hard on you. It's the truth anyway. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John works for everybody, not just some people. God is no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for another. He will do it for anybody. He specifically set it up this way so that the promise would be sure to all the seed. Not just on healing for cancer, the same thing applies to healing in your finances. The same thing applies to healing in your marriage. The same thing applies to getting your kids saved and off dope. Whatever. The same thing applies. The promises are sure to all the seed. And it's free by grace, and it's received by faith. Okay, now what is faith exactly? That's what we're going to talk about next year. The Lord gave me a measuring stick years ago in order to accurately answer that question, am I operating in faith or not? And here's what He said to me. People always do what they believe. I don't care what they say. Watch what they do. Because what they do is what they believe. Can I get a witness on that? Does that sound right to you guys? Hallelujah. Real faith always has two parts. One is words. The second one is action. Words, 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Norval Hayes says, faith has a voice. And if you're not speaking your faith, you're not even in faith yet. You're kidding yourself. The spirit of faith speaks. Got that? Two, actions. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or action is dead also. Real faith speaks the answer and acts like God tells the truth. Acts like God's word can be trusted, that His name is good, His word is good. You got that? Neither words alone nor actions alone are enough. For example, to say that God is your provider, but to never give money into the gospel because you, quote, can't afford it, that's not faith. You're not kidding anybody. You're not even fooling yourself. You're sure not fooling the devil. Oh, yes, the Lord is my provider. Hallelujah. Oh, Jehovah, Jireh. You know, we sing that song. My provider. His grace is sufficient for me. Did you put anything in offering this week? Well, no, you know, the bills were just a little too much this week, and we couldn't afford to put anything in. Liar! How's that? No, don't be telling me you believe. People do what they believe. You believe your circumstances. You're not believing the Word. You're believing your circumstances. Again, the Word says that God, every time that thought comes to your mind, I don't have any seed to sow. Or you could say it this way, I don't have any money to give. Every time that thought crosses your mind, from this night forward, I pray God puts this verse right behind it, which says, He provides seed for the sower. Do you all know that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Now, if the Bible says that God provides seed for the sower, yet your wallet says to you, well, not necessarily your wallet, because it's probably got some money in it, your budget, your bills say to you, you don't have any seed to sow, who's lying here? The budget.
The lion eyes.
The lion eyes. Can y'all understand where I'm coming from? Listen, this same principle applies in every area of life. The devil, all he's got is circumstances. That's all the boy's got. He's always trying to get you looking, again, like Louis a while ago, quit looking at that book. Quit looking at those promises. Look at the flat tire. Or, no, no, you can't give. You don't have any seed. Look at your budget. You cannot afford it. And as long as He can keep you there, you're not acting on the Word. I don't care how much you're confessing it. And you're not really in faith yet. I mean, when it absolutely looks impossible for you to give anything, that's when you most need to give it. You most need to. The devil's working overtime to try and stop you. How are you ever going to break out of that stronghold till you start calling the devil and his circumstances a lie and believe the Word of God? God says, I multiply your seed sown, does He not? Okay. Y'all got the point? You're awfully quiet tonight. You got the point? Okay. Watch this. On the other hand, okay, now look. But I've seen it on both sides of the coin. For example, to say that God is your provider, but to never give money into the gospel because you can't afford it, that's not faith. We all know that, right? Now watch this, though. I see this all the time. On the other hand, I know many, many believers who give and give and give, but never speak the Word of God concerning Him multiplying their seed sown and providing all their needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They never say anything. That's not faith either. That is works, believing that God will bless them based on what they are doing. The blessing's on the Word, you guys. The life is not in your $10 that you give in the offering. The life's in the Word. I taught a lesson on this. If y'all want the tape, I'd have to go back and find it now. I challenge any of you to take a $10 bill tomorrow, go out into your backyard, dig a hole, plant that $10 bill in the ground, cover it up, fertilize it, water it, and see if a money tree grows there. Will a money tree ever grow there?
No.
There is no life in that $10 bill, is there? It's not like a seed, a pepper seed or a plant, tomato seed. There is life in those. But a $10 bill has no germ. It has no life in it. If it's going to be multiplied back to you, life has to come from somewhere else. Guess where it comes from? The Word of God. The life is in the Word. The tithe is not the seed. The Word is the seed. If you don't ever speak the Word over it, you just got a bunch of dead seed. There's no life in that $10 bill, $100 bill. See, I was so stupid years ago when it wasn't working. I thought I wasn't planting enough seed. And besides that, I had help. That's what the preachers kept saying. And you know why they say that, Oh, yeah, you're not planting enough seed. The tithe opens the window. Oh, but it's the offering. It's the offering that brings it through, see. Okay. Well, I'm stupid. I told you I've been down every rabbit trail. Oh, I tried that one too. Oh, yeah. So now I've got dead seed followed by more dead seed. And there was still no harvest. Because I still wasn't speaking the Word over the seed. And the life is in the Word. That's what He said do. Say. He said, you can have what you say. Isn't that what He said? Isn't that what Jesus said? What are you saying over your giving? Nothing. What are you getting off of your giving? Nothing. Two and two still make four. He made this really simple, okay? Faith has two parts. Words. Everyone say words.
Words.
And action.
Action.
Both. So, you got it? Just the giving won't work. Just the saying won't work. But the giving and the saying will work. That's God's system. Faith is two parts. Words and action. Okay? All right. All of the promises belong to us because of the work that Jesus has already finished. Because we believe in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Everyone say this with me. We know that we are already rich. We're going to do it one more time. We are already rich. Tammy, are you rich?
You better believe it.
How about you, Randy? Annette?
Wealthy.
Judy? Sandra? I want to hear you say it. Clear over here. Say, I am rich.
I am very rich.
I'm very rich. Good. Rich? Everybody rich here. All right, now let me look at this. We're already rich, right? All right? Therefore, we only give as a corresponding action to what we believe. Let me ask you guys. What do rich people that love God do at church when it's offering time? I mean, is that hard? You say, Well, this is great at Thursday night, but you haven't seen my checkbook. That's the whole problem. Quit looking at it. Start somewhere. You're rich. Well, you sure? What does it say now? Let's see. He was made poor that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Is that what it says? That's what it says. Now, what does your budget say? What do you got here? Hallelujah. Yes. You know that little white booklet, God's Creative Power, that's in all of your... I love what God told Charles Capps. And that last thing. Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him and says, Jesus said, I have told my people they can have what they say, but my people are saying what they have. Boy, that's the truth. That's the absolute truth, too. How you doing? Well, you know, it's not been going too good. Been, you know, a lot of rainy days, haven't been able to work much, and, you know, all of that stuff. Just saying what you have instead of taking the offensive and having what you say. I'm sorry. That's his. You got one in yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. See, now, giving is a corresponding action to what we believe. We are also bold in declaring, saying that Jesus has given us his wealth in exchange for our poverty. Boy, that's a good swap, wasn't it? You gave him your poverty, he gave you his riches. What a deal. I mean, what a deal. I'll take that curtain, please. Hallelujah. We openly declare that God is multiplying our seed sown, and he provides all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, even on Black Tuesday. You got me? Now, action. One, spend time with the one you love. Spend time worshiping God. Tell him that you love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength every day. Now, I want to tell you a secret. This is what, when Sue and I... This was in about 1984, 85, in there. And we were seeking the Lord. Through tongues and interpretation one day, the Lord said to us, he said, many times a day, both of you, tell me with your mouth, I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. And he told us, he says, do it whether you feel like it or not. And it will have a profound impact on your walk with me. Just letting the words come out of your mouth several times a day will start having an impact on the inner man. Okay? So I put every day, but even several times every day would be better. I loved what Gerald says. He says, I acknowledge him. Before I do anything, I acknowledge him. I'm going to drive to work. I acknowledge him. Lord, I'm going to work now. You know, come with me. I don't know exactly how Gerald talks with him, but he acknowledges him, everything you do. See, and that's what the Lord wants. He wants to be your friend. Two, say that God is your refuge or your fortress and your refuge all the time. You don't have to go around saying exactly those words, but in line with that thought, God is my strength. God is my provider. God is my salvation. He is my joy. That song we sing, you are my everything, my all in all. Really? He is, see? Okay? Don't ever say anything. This is Norval. I can hear this in Norval's voice. Don't ever say anything that agrees with the devil.
That's like
you're saying. Don't agree with the devil anytime. Just don't say anything that agrees with him. You say what agrees with what God says about you. I'm the head and not the tail. Above and but not beneath, on Black Tuesday. Black Tuesday. The telephone was cut off. The air conditioner went out. Tires went flat. Blew a hole in your tennis shoe. You know what I'm saying? Everything. I mean, everything that happened could happen that day. I'm the head and not the tail. Above and but not beneath. You see what I'm saying? Say that. That's the same thing as saying, God is my fortress and my refuge. All the time. Don't ever say anything that agree with the devil. Give the devil no place. Three. I started to use the word meditate, but I use it. Think about God during the day. Think about God. Make up your mind. Here's really the whole... This is it in a nutshell, if you want to walk with God. D- Does your God lie or not? Now, that's the question. If you ever want to get into God's deliverance, that is the question. Does your God lie or not? Can you trust His Word or not? If His Word is good, then His name is good. And come to know your God. The name of Jesus has been given to the church, that's you, to enforce the victory that Jesus won over the devil. Start taking authority over the evil one using the name of Jesus. Just like I did that night when all those symptoms were on Sue. Okay? His name is above every name that is named. Like what? How about cancer? How about poverty? How about depression? Lost children? Sick marriages? Ingrown toenails? I don't care. It doesn't matter. His name is... Can you name it? His name's above it. Car problems? His name's above it. Kid problems? His name's above it. Use that name. Hallelujah. What else you got to do that's more important? Walk around the floor. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. All my cars are supplied according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, you are my car provider. Long as I seek you, Lord, I do not lack any good thing. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that we have an abundance of cars. We not only have sufficient for our own needs, we have cars left over to loan out. And they all work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you do that when one of them's flat and one of them ain't running and the other one, the trunk fell off. Or something. You know, or something. See? Black Tuesday. You got it? Okay. Item 4. Then call upon His help in everything. Not just the big things. Let me tell you all something. I want to tell you how He taught me a prayer that works. Y'all like prayers that work? I want to give you a secret prayer. I found a secret one. It works. Y'all know I sold that rent house earlier this year? I had to do a lot of work on it. Right down close, 2 days before closing, they come out with this termite guy. And I got one tube of four under there. It spans across. And it's been eat up. And I got to replace that thing. And there's no time. I mean, you know, we're just... In fact, it was going to close tomorrow. That's right. The next day it was going to close. I mean, I had to do it, and the guy's coming in just a little while to inspect it. I'm under there. The old one was easy to get out. It just crumbled and fell, you know. And this other two before, it had to go in there, and I couldn't cut it in half. It had to span between these two blocks. Trouble is, right where that was in the bathroom, underneath, you know, where all the drain pipes and all the water pipes and everything is right there. So I had it cut to the right length. And I'm an engineer by training. I understand trigonometry and geometry and all of that, you know, and I'm looking. You'd think I could figure this, you know, trying to fit this two before where it'll somehow get in amongst all them pipes and still yet fit in those blocks without cutting it. Over an hour, I laid there under that house trying every conceivable position that I could possibly imagine to put that two before in there. Finally, it came to prayer. And I'll tell you what I prayed. I'll tell you exactly what I prayed. I said, Father, I need more grace. Please, give me more grace. I have to get this board in there. I know they put the old one in there before the bathroom pipes were here. But I've got to put this in here, you know. Give me more grace, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I'm laying under there, and I hardly got that out of my mouth. It was probably 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, well, gee, I wonder if that would work. And that board just slipped in there like butter, you know, like it was buttered and greased. And I'm going, now I could have swore, and I'm still not sure, I could almost swear on my own Bible here that I had tried that angle before. Okay? You know, that attack. That approach with that board. I'm not for sure. I won't say for sure. But it seemed to me like it. Because, I mean, I'd been under there over an hour. That thing just... Boom. And I took my little hammer and tap, 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 tap. And that was over and I crawled out. And I was thinking, I could have asked for more grace an hour ago. You know, our friend George, he's got a... He had a problem years ago. And He didn't pray about it the same night. If I remember the story at all right, George, you forgive me. I'm doing my best. But anyway, so he didn't pray about it that night, and the next day, the Lord reminded him of that story when Moses, God was using Moses to deliver the people out of Egypt. And remember the frogs? And finally Pharaoh comes to Moses, and he says, "Please, Moses," he says, "pray to your God that he remove these frogs." And Moses said, "Well, when do you want me to pray? When do you want God to remove them?" "Well, tomorrow." And that always struck George. He says, "Sleep. There's no point sleeping with the frogs one more night." George to this day keeps little ceramic frogs all over the house to remind him, there's no point sleeping with the frogs one more night. You know, when you got a problem, let's pray and get rid of the frogs right now. Well, boy, after that, I was wishing to God I'd have prayed about an hour earlier, okay? You know? Ask for more grace. He gives more grace. For putting a board under the rent house, oh, yeah. Yeah. Your car, yeah. Place to live, yeah. Better job, yeah. Anything. What does the Bible really say? Pray about
everything.
Don't worry about anything. Okay? Not just pray about everything, not just the big things. He has plenty of time for you. He is the timeless, eternal one. He is interested in every detail of your life and will help you abundantly every time you will call upon Him to do so. Jesus did not suffer all that He did just so you could go around having to solve all of your problems in your own wisdom and strength. Call upon Him. He will answer you. He will deliver you. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Hallelujah. 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 Give me about two more minutes here. You go ahead. You don't have to give me two. We understand that. Listen, I love the gifts of the Spirit. Gerald and I love it when the Lord shows up here and wants to minister by the gifts. And thank God for the church and that we have the gifts there. But unless the Lord tells me or lets me know that that's in manifestation, I don't intend on just doing my own thing without His anointing. Don't we have enough of that going on in the churches already? Okay, now listen. Now, mainly what this is about. I thank God for the gifts. If you come down with something, you best get in the healing line. You understand me? Get in there. If Benny Hinn's close, get in his. Dave's, get in his. Wherever. Okay? Mainly what God has me here to do with you guys, I told Dr. George this one time, my real job is to take Nathan's... Where's your Bible? Is to take Nathan's... Cause since he's got on these sandals. My job is to take that foot right there, take some 9-penny or 16-penny nails and just pound his feet right into the Word of God. Amen. So that he cannot get away from it. Because if I can do that, you won't have to find the gift, son. The Word works. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John works 100% of the time for everybody. Every time that they do it. I thank God for the gifts. Thank God for that. That's not the way you live. You live by the Word. The Word works every time, 100%. There are no exceptions. You see? You got it? That's why we stress so hard here, doing what's preached. Now, I like the fact that you're bringing your little notebooks. I'm not going to take a test, but what I want to know is, are they being opened between Thursday to Thursday? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The pressure builds. Couldn't stand it. Yes! The only reason why, somebody asked the first night, is there going to be a test? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just not giving it.
Amen.
I'm just not giving it. Yeah. See, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Yeah, there's a test. I'm not giving it, but we'll all know if you passed. How's that? Got it? You are dismissed. We got cookies, we got pop.